guys, I'm a bit in an interesting situation right now because I've got my sermon written out in here when I turn to the page. And, when we were worshipping, just God gave me some thoughts. And I need to stick to them, but I really need to do this. Some of you guys need to do this with your life. This is last year. Need to rip it out. Screw it up. That's my sermon, by the way. Throw it away and shut the book. Now, I don't need a word from God to say that there's some people here going through some awkward, horrific, ad, whatever terminology you want to put on it. I don't need a word from God for that. But what I do need to remind us is this time of year gives us a focus point to say, I'm going to leave that behind. In the Bible, it says, forgetting what is behind us, we push on to the goal ahead of us. We forget what's behind us. People often worry and stress about things, and they're thinking about what was instead of looking at what is. You see, guys, I need to remind you that none of us can change anything that's from this moment backwards. You can't do a thing about it. But you can do everything from this moment forwards. You can only learn from the past and look forward to the future. But you can't do anything in the future till you get there. And you can't do anything about the past behind us. But the verse in Isaiah 50, and verse will come in at, so Isaiah 50 in verse 4. This is obviously talking about Jesus, but it says this, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructive tongue to know the word and to sustain the weary. He wakes me morning by morning, wakes my ears to listen to the one being taught. The sovereign Lord opens my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I have not drawn back from what the prophet is saying. It's a prophetic thing about Jesus. But for us, we need to have our ears open morning by morning. We need to listen to what God's saying, and we don't need to draw back. Question, why when any of us go through a situation which is awkward, hard, uncomfortable, do we draw back? And I'm talking to me now as well as you. Why do we draw back from God and draw back from the body? Why do we isolate ourselves? And why do we think, and I think it's a lie from the pit, why do we think I'm the only one who's ever gone through this situation? Why do we listen to the lie that we are unique in our situation and problem? Yet in James it says that it's all common, everything's common to man. Why do we draw back from God and why do we draw back from each other? Why is it that it's an embarrassment to say, I'm struggling? And yet we know the Bible says that when I'm weak, then I'm strong in Him. See, when I gave my life to Jesus, I gave my life to Jesus, but I didn't read the small print. I signed a contract with God, giving my life over to Him, and He signed it in His blood, giving it back. But I didn't read the small print that when I gave my life to Jesus, I gave it to Him and to His body. His body. Him. You're His body. And if I'd have known, I might have been questioning that bit. What do you mean I've got to be part of the church, part of the body? Can't it just be me and you, God? And when I fall out with me, I can go to the next me along. But these verses continue. We talk about Jesus. He said, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheek to those who pulled out my beard. You don't read that in the Gospels, but we know it happened. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting because, you see, the sovereign Lord helps me and I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I set my face like flint to know I will not be put to shame. This verse says, I will set my face like flint and I know I will not be put to shame. This morning, I need you guys to think on those words and decide in your heart that this coming year you're going to set your face like flint and you're going to walk into the situation God's called you into and He's called you to be, and you're going to set your face like flint and you're going to disregard and ignore the voices from around you. You're going to ignore what's going on to the left and the right. You're going to set your face like flint. We knew Jesus did this. It says in Luke that He set His face towards Jerusalem. And are we glad He got to Jerusalem? Yet He knew what was going to happen to Him in Jerusalem, yet He set His face towards Jerusalem. And we need to set our faces like flint and decide that I'm not going to listen anymore to the lies that people say, the devil says, and I'm definitely not going to listen to the lies I say about me. I need to listen to what the Word of God says about me. I need to listen to the truth of what God says about me. And I need to set my face like flint so whatever happens in this next 12 months, this is more next week's sermon, but we're having it now. Next 12 months, it's going to be a case I'm going to set my face and I'm not going to start blaming people and situations for the problems. I'm going to set my face like flint and I'm just going to keep going for Jesus. I had an interesting situation yesterday. We got all set. We're going to go see the in-laws, my in-laws, Joe's laws. We're off to see the in-laws and the outlaws and we're all ready to go. And that little look came and that eyes came and that little, could you just take him round the block, which in our house means take the dog for a walk. Now, how many of you have heard people say it'll only take 2 minutes? You know, it's not going to take 2 minutes. It's going to take forever. So anyway, I'm all ready to go, and I get the dog sorted out, and we sets off. And I walks into the park, and there's a couple of dogs in the park. So I keep him on his lead generally if there's other dogs there, and I'm walking towards the woods where I let him off. Normally, I let him off before and off he goes. And as we approach the woods, he set off a little bit faster. Now, he's still on his lead, so I held him back. But the dog's got four paws with claws. And in mud, they stick. And as I pulled back, he didn't move. So I pulled forward. Now, the only thing holding me up is my feet on the mud. So I pull forward and whoop, boom, flat on my back. My first thought was as I looked up at the clouds and the blue sky and the drifting planes shooting past. I wasn't thinking of my holiday to come next year. I was thinking, has anybody seen me? Well, holding the lead. So I quickly got up, which wasn't easy. I'm like a man on ice. And I looked at the dog, and the dog looked at me. I've got mud on my hands. I've got mud on my new top I got for Christmas, but I'm going to have to change. I've got mud on my back. I can feel it. It's there. And I'm thinking, what? I'm looking at the dog, and the dog's not looking at me with sympathy. He's going, let me go. I need to go, if you know. Now, I could have blamed the dog for my situation, but the fact is it was the dog's fault. But it wasn't the dog's fault. So I let the dog go, and he went. And in that moment, I'd been listening to Joyce Mayer a couple of days earlier, and she said, you need to choose to be happy. And in that moment, I chose not to blame the dog. I chose to be happy. In fact, it was so conscious of me. I'm looking at the dog. I'm seeing the two people with their dogs thinking, I hope they didn't see me, but they probably did. But I chose in that moment to not blame the dog, which meant I'm not going to shout and bawl and maybe even go after him and bite his neck. No, I don't do that. But I wasn't going to blame the dog. And I wasn't going to blame the ground. It happened. And I chose, the Bible says in Acts, it says, Paul says, I think myself happy. King James Version. I think myself happy. And on the inside, you can be crying. But you can think yourself happy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And whenever you're thinking of the past and the misery and whatever was, you're not thinking of the joy of the Lord. He's not giving you strength. And when you could put it this way, the joy of the Lord is our energy. I chose in that moment to pick myself up. And I just thought, I'm a mess now and I'm going to have to sort this out. But I thought, no, the dog's only needing to go and do his stuff. The dog's doing what's normal. But how many times do we blame people, situations, problems for where we're at when in reality where we're at is where we're at? It's not anybody's fault. And even if it is, we can't do nought about it. It's not my fault. I've got redheads in my family. It's my mum's fault and my dad's fault. The kids can't blame me. It's not my fault. But in reality, it is my fault because I chose to have kids. Guys, we need to think on that life is life, and we need to choose whatever's happening, whatever's going on, whatever storms are on the horizon, that we're going to set our faces like flint. And we're not going to run to the left or the right. We're going to keep on going. Because I've learned this over the years. The quickest way to get through a storm is to go straight through a storm. To take it on the chin. I'm one of those lads at school where the teachers really didn't like me, or some teachers really didn't like me. Because towards the end of my school life, if I got told to go to the headmaster's office or something like that, I used to walk in and I used to just go, I've done this, cane me, I can't do with a lip, I need to go. And I said that once to a teacher and he caned me twice, but he says, I admit, he knew it wasn't going to learn, I'm going to learn anything by him lipping at me, but I couldn't do it time. Wasted. Just get it up and let me go. And I've learned that sometimes in life we've just got to take it on the chin and keep going. But I choose to be happy. I choose sometimes to be sad. Now, how can you choose to be sad or choose to be happy? I've got to make a conscious decision almost every morning to choose to do something right with God and to set my mind focused on Jesus. And sometimes if I listen to too many sad songs, because they do make you feel good, but you can drift into a black hole, which is awkward to get out of. So I choose not to listen to them. I choose not to watch certain films because they can gravitate me to an area I don't want to go. See, it's easy to go with a flow. And guys, it feels good to be miserable. It does. You love it, really. Because if you didn't love it, you'd kick yourself up the backside and do something about it. But you love it, really. Ethan once a well for a day. And then we kicked him up the backside and told him to go. And he loved it. There's a remote control. Would you like a drink? Would you like your breakfast bringing it to you? Oh, I'm Paul. No, you're not. You've had enough of that now. Get up. We prayed for you. We sorted that out. You see, Jesus' disciples, we've got to understand that when the church was planted and grew, that many of those people who were in the early church worked 12 hours a day. They worked 6 days a week. And yet it says they met daily at the temple. It says they got together daily in each other's houses. And I'm thinking, how can they work 12 hours and do that? Because they didn't have Facebook. Or whatever else it might be, social media. Guys, I must admit, but I do learn more about you guys from social media than some people tell me. You know, it's interesting. But it's also interesting looking at the times some people put on. And you just think, shouldn't you be in bed at this time? And then they tell me they're struggling to sleep. No wonder. I'm struggling to get up. But Jesus set his face like flint. And if we jump over to Hebrews 12, which I know Hope could probably say this off by heart. It says, therefore, since we have been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Guys, since you are surrounded by such a great crowd of believers, let's put it that way, not just those who's gone ahead of us, since you are surrounded by a great, and it doesn't matter what you think, if they're great or not great, in Jesus they are great, because the weakest believer in this room can stand next to you in your problem and pray for you and agree in the name of Jesus, and God Almighty will strip away rivers and streams and oceans to get an answer to you. The weakest person in this room can do that. So imagine what some of you guys could do. Why do we cut ourselves off when we're surrounded by such a great cloud? A great crowd. It says cloud, meaning those above us, but a great crowd of people below us. Now you might say, Johnny, I don't really have anybody near me or with me. Guys, you've got the phone, you've got the internet, you can go see people. It's amazing how far somebody will travel and run and go. When someone's in love, they will cross mountains and valleys. And then we get married and then it stops. I've got it. No, that's just a start. But it's amazing how many times I say to somebody, shall we do this or do you want to do that? And the list of excuses comes hammering out straight away. Du-du-du-du-du-du. And I've got to a point where I say, if you don't want to do it, just say you don't want to do it. Don't give me the excuses. Just tell me, I don't want to do it. Okay, that's fine. Let's move on. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. That means some stuff might not be sin or wrong, but it's hindering your walk with God. Let's throw it off, get rid of it. The word cast, earlier on in the Bible, where Jesus, what did Jesus, somebody said, cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Throw it, get rid of it. Whatever's hindering your walk with God, get rid of it, throw it. And the sin that so easily ensnares us, that's tangling around our feet. And let us run with perseverance, the race marked out before us. Guys, you've got a race to run. All of you. If God had finished with you, you'd be dead. And in heaven, that's it. But you've got a plan, God's got a plan and purpose for you. He's got a route for you to run. And he says, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. This is the one who set his face like flint, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Guys, if you've got your Bible open in Hebrews 12, and where it says, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, write your name in there. Who for the joy set before him, Gene Turner, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, Andrew Pullen, he endured the cross. And he could go through everybody. For the joy set before him, Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Scorning its shame, it says. And now has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, keep our eyes and our mind upon him, who endured such opposition from sinful man. Guys, sometimes you think you've got opposition. Sometimes I think I've got opposition. Sometimes I think my opposition is you, and sometimes it's not you. It's just my thinking needs sorting out. Because how can my own body be rebelling against me when I'm part of the same body, God's body, Jesus' body? How can it be rebellious? We're all together. But considering we endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. If we did a survey across the church within the UK and we talked to people who'd grown weary and lost heart, there'd be a very large proportion of people that once were passionate, on fire, going for Jesus, who have gone for Jesus, who have run the race, but as time has gone on, have grown weary, tired. Are you coming back, Jesus? Do I have to put up with this much longer, Jesus? And yet, he wants us to pursue him right to the end, not giving up. I think my years before I got saved were a lot easier than my years being saved. Because I didn't know what were right and wrong. Well, I did in some respects. But I didn't know what sin was. And I didn't know that I upset God every time I do sin. But now I'm a believer, I do know that because I read it in the Bible and I find out there's some stuff I'm doing wrong that I need to put right. But I didn't know it was wrong, but now I know it's wrong, so I've got to put it right. And the things I want to do, I don't do. But things I don't want to do, I don't do. And I always get confused in reading Romans 7 on that bit, and it just becomes chaotic, and there's that ugly flesh side of me keeps rising up, and I keep shooting it and putting it down. And my spirit is praising Jesus, but this body of mine, this old thing of mine, I need to keep killing. And when I dropped on that floor in that mud, I needed it to stay there, but it somehow it got back up with me. And it just keeps there, and I just want to run the race set before me. When I got home from walking my dog, I thought, I've got to clean my top, change my top. It got kind of worse because my coat was mucky at the back. So I had to forget that and that's got it washed. My jeans were mucky, which I assumed they were. But I had mud on my back. But even worse, the muck had dried slightly and dropped down into my pants. Now, the last thing you want in your pants is mud.
it looks completely wrong. So I had to do a complete change and scrub. Yes, even the undies. They all had to go, and a new set. It wasn't my dog's fault. It wasn't the ground's fault. It wasn't really my fault. It just happened. And there was no point shouting at the dog and getting annoyed and angry. I had to choose to be happy. But it meant I had to get rid of the things that were mucky. I had to get rid of the things from that fall, that slip, laying them aside into the wash basket. King James. Putting them there. Clean clothes on. And off we went. See, the reason we do the communion every Sunday is because we forget. We forget. That's why, and we've already had this, I thought it was great, Danielle mentioned it. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and in my own innermost being, praise his only name. When you read that in the Hebrew, it's not, praise the Lord, O my soul, when I'm happy, when everything's all right, when it's great. It's praise the Lord, O my soul, in my innermost being, praise his only name, in every situation. Whatever's going on. In Romans 8:28, it says, whatever happens to us, God will always turn it around for his good. For our good and for his glory, really. Whatever happens, God will always change it around. So that even in that dark situation, you know, we've been singing a song, Hide Me Now, under your wing. Hide me, Lord, take me away. But God sometimes says, I understand that. I understand those moments. I do. But there's times when God says, I'm not going to hide you anymore. I'm going to let you walk ahead of me. And I'm going to stand with you. And together we're going to go through that storm. And when those waves do rise up, Jesus says, I'm going to be with you. The only reason we get through the situations is not because we're brave, not because we're strong. It's because who we're anchored to. And in reality, it's not because we're holding him, it's because he's holding us. Many years ago, we went to Malham Cove, and I love being up there, and it's all different now when you've got kids because, you know, I used to walk on the edge and look over like that. Not a problem. Now you've got kids, this is the edge now. Over here. Suddenly it becomes, but Ethan wanted to look over the edge. So I said, okay, come on, let's go to edge. So we did. He grabbed my hand, but I grabbed his. Because he wanted to look over the edge, but I had hold of him. Because I wasn't at the edge. I was back, and I held him. And when social services ring up, I'll say, I made up that story completely. It never happened. You know, it was a lie. But he wanted to look over the edge, but I was holding him. And in our storms and our situations, we are not the ones holding on. It's not our anchor, is your anchor secure? It's not our anchor that's in the rock. It's the rock who's anchoring us. It's him who's holding us. It's his hand that we're in, and the Father's hand is upon us. It's him we stand in. And it says this, in our innermost being, praise his holy name. Guys, you might want to cry, but praise his name. You might want to sing songs of joy, but still praise his name. I mean, it continues, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. I mean, some people know every benefit going, but they don't know any of the benefits that's in the Bible. And he lists them here. He says, forgetting all his benefits, who forgives all our sins. I mean, that's something to get excited. Somebody said to me recently, Johnny, I don't understand why you're so happy. And I says, well, it's not the tablets, and it's definitely not Red Bull. I just choose to be happy. And I'm not always happy. Talk to Joe, she'll tell you. And I'm not always happy or asleep neither. It's not one of those. There's times in my own life. But I try to choose. But I remember that all my sins are forgiven. All my sins, everything's gone. Clear. In fact, he said, as far as the east is from the west, is as far as he's forgotten them. So why do I keep looking back? Why do we look back? Why do we go to God and say, I've got this sin, this problem in my life, God, I'm really sorry about it. And God's going, I forgot about it. It's gone. I mean, you can't put these verses together. You've got to really consider some of the statements that are rampant in the church these days, when you start lining up with some of the verses in the Bible, because traditions of men is taking over what God is saying, and we need to stick to the Word of God. So He forgives all our sins, and He heals all our diseases. I like that, because that means all. He redeems your life from the pit. I know God says a lot of things to different people, and I'm realizing I'm nearly getting to middle-aged. I'm going to live nearly, because I'm going to live till I'm 105. So I've got a few more years yet. But I want to live to 105 being really good. But I did say to Jesus, if 105 is going to be really boring, take me home now. Because I wasn't saved to live a boring life. You guys weren't born again and born to live boring lives. Many of us are a product of what people's told us we ought to be, instead of being the people that we know we truly are. Some of you've lived a life and it's not your life. It's your parents' life. It's a relative's life. It's a spouse's life. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. You'll embarrass us. Guys, do what God's told you to do. And clean the house, men. And all the wives said, you've got your bits to do. I was talking to somebody recently, and this guy is got saved from a foreign country, came over here, got radically saved, call of God in his life, got married, had a kid. Won't work. Just won't work, because God's called me. We talked to him about the fact that he needs to get a job, and you're worse than an infidel, he said, if you don't provide for your family and all that stuff. But he says, no, God's going to provide. And then people are helping the family out by giving them food. And he goes, see, God's providing. No, go get a job, mate. You see, we need to remember that God has a plan and purpose for all our lives. And his job and his purpose in our life is not for us to maintain a life, a space in the body. It's to be an active part of the body. Guys, I don't know why we have... Does anybody know why we have appendix? No, I don't know. It's in there. I've got mine. I haven't got any tonsils. They don't know why they're there half at time. But they used to take everything out, and now they don't. They leave them in now, don't they? Sometimes we didn't know what they were there for, and now we know what they're there for. But you're part of the body. And when the storm hits your life, and you pull back from the body, if my little toe decided to pull back, I'd have a problem walking. If my kidneys decided one day they weren't going to work, that'd be a problem. If your part in the body and you start to pull back because of the storm that you're in, it affects other people. And yet there could be somebody in this room who can stand next to you and say, in the name of Jesus. You don't need everybody and anybody just praying for you. You need somebody who will agree with you in prayer, in faith, to stand on the Word of God and go for it. It continues. So let's not forget His blessings. He's forgiven all our sins. He heals all our sicknesses. He keeps us out of the pit. And He redeems your life from the pit. And I love this. When He crowns your life with love and compassion. Even I've got love and compassion. Little bit, but I've got some. And guys, if you've got any more than I have, you've got lots. Because it says He crowns us with love and compassion, and He satisfies your desires with good things. That's what I like about my dad. Christmas is Christmas, but my Heavenly Father satisfies my desires with good things. Now, I know people get a problem with the word desires there, because God only gives you your need. No, He does not. Read the Bible, check it out for yourself. Somebody's going to challenge me on that one of these days. Check it out. He gives us our desires. Our good desires. Not everything you want to kill your neighbor. He's not going to give you that desire. But He's going to give you. He satisfies your desires with good things. And I love this for anybody who's feeling old after Christmas. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Your youth is renewed. Many years ago We'd been out hiking, we'd done the Three Peaks, or almost done the Three Peaks. We got about a mile and a half to go, and I was wrecked after 20-odd miles. You'd expect so. Walking along. Somebody rung us. You can get a signal up there, it's quite good. But a problem further back with one of our team. It was suddenly from, keep going, 2 miles less, keep going. It was suddenly like, ding, problem. And two of us ran nearly 2 miles back up, steady. It wasn't a steep climb, but steadily. You guys have done it, haven't you? Coming down Ingleborough. We ran. Why? Why? Because something inside us ignited that somebody needed help. And the Bible says that we should praise the Lord in our innermost beings, praise his holy name, because it sets a fire in our hearts. And it helps us to keep our eyes off the situation and problems. And it's no point blaming people for where you're at. You're where you're at because that's where you are. And you can choose to walk forward. Yeah, you might have... No, I don't want to get into any of that because it's... You might have something that you can't get away... Look, guys, I've told this before. Hey, I can't read that well. I suck it up, but I don't use it as an excuse. That's it. I'm over it. You're better readers than I am. I've got to ask you how to spell stuff. I've got to ask up. How to spell stuff. My daughter. Her English is way beyond mine. Maths, I'm keeping up. But I could live my life saying to God, God, you've made a mistake. I can't stand up in front of people and read the word. I can't read the word out loud. I can't do this. I can't do it. I think God's got a sense of humor because he takes the stupid kid in the class and stands him in front of a crowd of people, gives him a load of the Holy Spirit and a load of passion and says, stand up and read. Let's go for it. When some of you guys could read a lot better than I could. In fact, probably most of you's got better giftings than I have. It's just that God's put me where I am. So why do we pull back in the storm? Maybe it's because, and I said this earlier, sometimes the misery we actually enjoy. When I was younger, I did a stupid thing. I went running down the street. I was racing a car, even though you can't help. But as an eight-year-old, you think you're invincible. You're like Superman. And I went head over heels in summer in my shorts. So both knees, elbows, one shoulder, grazes down. I had loads of cuts and bruises all over me. I went home. My mum wasn't sympathetic, which was unusual because usually she was. But not this day. So she wasn't sympathetic, so I had to get over it. But anyway, for the next few weeks, I had scabs. And I loved them. Because they hurt like crazy. But you love picking, don't you? You've just got to pick at it. You've got to pick. And I'd be one ear, and I kept picking. Oh, and it hurt. And then it bleed. And then it hurt. And then I have to wash it. But I kept picking and picking. What I didn't realise is the ones I weren't picking at, the one on my shoulder here, within a week it had gone. The one on my knees had gone. Because I was concentrating on one. This one we're here for weeks and weeks. Because the more we scratch, the more we fiddle with, it hurts. Oh, people say, oh, that looks bad. Oh, it looks bad. Oh, lollipop, it looks bad. It looked bad, it did. I almost needed a sling. Wasn't that bad, but it looked awful. But it looked even worse when I picked it a few times. And I got some great sympathy, not from my mum, but from other people. And sometimes in the storm, we know we want to get out of it. But our flesh enjoys it in there. Because we get something you don't get when you're storming that mountain. You're taking on the devil. You might get a pat on the back of people going, we're praying for you. But in the storm, you get there. Guys, and I'm not being disrespectful. Sometimes I like the there's. It's going to be all right. I like that sometimes. But I can't live there. I've got to choose to be happy. I've got to choose to set my face like flint. And this year ahead of us, Will you choose to set your face like flint? And whatever's happening, whatever's going to happen, whatever can happen, you're just going to focus on Jesus and you're going to run the race and to hell with the devil. Stuff him. And whatever he throws, the worst he can do, I can keep on going for Jesus. Amen.